I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, and we'll be reading verses 1 through 11. If you're using one of the Bibles that's provided for you here, it's on page 942. This is the holy and inspired Word of God. The Apostle Paul writes, "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For no one who has died has been, for one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus." So far from God's holy word. We're going to turn also to the Catechism, Lord's Day 26. You'll find that in the back of the hymnal we sang from. You'll find that on page 883 in the back of the Trinity Psalter hymnal. And here in the Catechism, it begins to reflect upon what we mean and what we understand baptism to be. What is the sacrament of baptism, even as the Apostle Paul reminds us in verse 4 of Romans 6 that we were buried with Christ by baptism into death. And that we were baptized into Christ's death. And so we're going to think from the Catechism and from Paul's words here regarding the sacrament of baptism as a means of grace that God has given to us. So Lord's Day 26, I'll read the question and we'll respond together with the answers. So question 69, how does holy baptism remind and assure you that Christ's one sacrifice on the cross benefits you personally? In this way, Christ instituted this outward washing, and with it promised that as surely as water washes away the dirt from the body, so certainly his blood and his spirit wash away my soul's impurity, that is, all my sins. Question 70, what does it mean to be washed with Christ's blood and spirit? To be washed with Christ's blood means that God, by grace, has forgiven our sins because of Christ's blood poured out for us in a sacrifice on the cross. To be washed with Christ's Spirit means that the Holy Spirit and sanctified us to be members of Christ, so that more and more we die to sin and live holy and blameless lives. Question 71. Where does Christ promise that we are washed with his blood and spirit as surely as we are washed with the water of baptism? In the institution of baptism, where he says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." This promise is repeated when Scripture calls baptism the washing of regeneration and the washing away of sins. So far from the Catechism. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, we had spoken a few weeks ago, actually probably almost over a month ago, about sacraments and what God has done in instituting sacraments for his people. And we had said before that sacraments are a means of grace. They are signs and seals that signify to us invisible realities, right? God has given us these great promises. God has given to each of us his promise of the forgiveness of our sins. He's promised to us renewal by his Holy Spirit. And these are promises that we, of course, can't hold and touch and feel with our hands, right? I can't grab hold of physically my justification, being forgiven in Christ. I can't bottle up my sanctification. I can't even measure my sanctification like we might measure our children, right? As they grow up, you might put marks on the wall to see how tall they are getting. There's no physical marks that we can look to, and yet God's promises are sure. And so God has given us his sacraments to signify them as signs pointing to these unseen, invisible realities. And so just as real, when we think about baptism, when the water is sprinkled on the forehead, just as real and just as certain as that water touches the forehead, so God's promises are just as certain, just as sure for us. So God has given us these sacraments, not because his word is insufficient, not because his promises are insufficient, but he's given these sacraments to us, including baptism and the Lord's Supper, in order to meet us in our weakness, to meet us knowing that we at times will doubt, we at times will question things, and instead, by looking to these signs that God has instituted, we are assured of his promise as we receive them by faith and in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so this morning we're going to reflect very briefly upon baptism. And the main idea that the Catechism draws out regarding baptism is that of washing. In each of the three questions that we had looked at, the main idea is that of washing, being washed by the blood of Christ so that our sins are forgiven, and being washed by the Spirit so that we are renewed and we are called then to be sanctified even as God is sanctifying us. And so as you think about this washing that's signified and sealed to us in baptism, there's three things about this washing that I want us to be able to understand and focus on. The first is that this washing is personal. Secondly, that this washing has a purpose. And then thirdly, that this washing was promised. So this washing is personal, that it has a purpose, and it was promised. So those are the three things we want to think about regarding what baptism signifies and that unseen, invisible reality that it points to. So first, baptism is personal, right? This is what the Catechism asks when it's asked in question 69, how does holy baptism remind and assure you that Christ's one sacrifice on the cross benefits you personally? That it's not just something that I see from a distance, then it's not just something that is meant to be looked at from afar to inspire me, what great sacrifice one has done, what great love of God, but rather that the benefits of the cross of Christ dying, come to me personally. And this is what Paul emphasizes all throughout the passage we had read. Over and over again, he is tying us and binding us and showing that we have been bound and united to Christ. Right, he says that, do you not know that all of you have been baptized into Christ? Right, you were baptized into his death. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death. Later he says that if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him. And then he goes on to say, now if we have died with Christ, we also will live with him, right? This whole section here would fall apart. The thread of it would just disintegrate into nothing if you were to remove Christ from what Paul is saying here. There is no forgiveness of sins. There is no newness of life. There are none of these benefits if Christ is not personally mine and is not personally yours. And we've talked about this before, right? We had said that, how then is Christ personally mine? How do I come to be united to Christ, as Paul is talking about here, that I might share in his death and I might share in his resurrection? We had said before in previous weeks that it's by faith. Faith is an instrument by which I grab hold of Christ. And Christ is mine and I am his. And all that he has done for salvation becomes mine. The benefits, they accrue to me. That's what Paul is getting at here. So when we think about baptism, it is truly, as Calvin said, a sacrament that leads us by the hand to Christ. Wonderful language that is, right? Comforting language. Again, for our weakness, God has given us baptism to remind us and to signify to us that we belong to Jesus Christ, that we personally have been united to him by faith. This is what baptism is signifying to us. It's the promise that it is sealing to us. And so what is signified in baptism is that it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Right? Paul says that in Galatians 2. We'll see that in the second service. In baptism, it signifies to me that Christ is my life, that I have died with him, I've been raised with him, and when he who is my life appears, I will also appear with him in glory. Right? This is how the Apostle Paul thought of himself, his whole life animated, controlled by Christ himself, seeking to please him, his whole life oriented towards Christ. And Paul is saying that is true of you. If you've come to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as well, you've come to believe in him. And so from the outset, we recognize then that baptism helps to orient our lives. It helps to orient our priorities, right? We could be pulled in a million different directions. And there's a new cause every week that we could be a good cause, could be a bad cause, but there are things that we could very much throw ourselves into and use that to sort of order our lives. But Paul is saying that if you have been baptized, then your life is now oriented toward Christ, that your whole life orbits around him. Your life is directed by him. And what he has done now defines you most fundamentally. So baptism is reminding us of we have died with Christ, that we're no longer alive to this world that is passing away. We've been raised to newness of life, that we might, as it says here, live unto God, count ourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. And so, brothers and sisters, I would ask you, remember your baptism. Remember your baptism. Remember that you have been signed and sealed by the promise of God in baptism, that you belong to Christ. And this then, in moments of temptation and moments of doubt, we can recall and remember that just as surely as the waters touched my head, or some of us might have been immersed, that's fine. We're going to have new members class. We'll talk about modes. We're okay with different modes. That's fine. But right, as surely as the water was wet, you can put it that way, and as surely as it touched me personally, so too Christ comes to me personally with these benefits. I have died with him. I've been raised with him. And therefore, the washing that baptism signifies is deeply personal. God brings us through the waters of baptism in Christ, signifying that we have died with him and we've been raised with him. You get a picture of this in the Old Testament. Think of Moses leading the people of Israel out of Egypt. Moses was a mediator. He foreshadowed the coming Christ, ultimately Jesus Christ, of course. And it's through Moses that God took his people out of Egypt and eventually brings them into his promised land. But in order to get out of Egypt, right, they had to go through the waters of the Red Sea, which symbolized and foreshadowed, again, the need to go through death in order to emerge as a new creation. Belgian Confession, Article 34, puts it this way. Regarding baptism, it says that this does not happen by the physical water, right? So we don't say that the physical water itself has some magical properties about it, right? It's a sign and a seal. It's pointing to a spiritual reality. The waters are ordinary water. But it does not happen by the physical water, but by the sprinkling of the precious blood of the Son of God, who is our Red Sea, through which we must pass to escape the tyranny of Pharaoh, who is the devil, and to enter the spiritual land of Canaan. It's the language of the Belgic Confession, right? And you can just see the basic idea that just as Israel was led, in a sense, by the hand, by Moses, through the Red Sea, so too we are brought through death personally in Jesus Christ, united to him. Your baptism signifies and seals to you that the benefits of what Christ has done on the cross benefit you and help you personally. You have been baptized. We don't do a corporate baptism, right? We don't just throw water out and see who gets hit, right? It's a personal baptism to signify to us that we have been personally united by faith in the power of the Holy Spirit to Christ. So it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So that's the first thing. Second thing is that the washing signified by baptism has a purpose. And we've kind of been touching on these already. But the Catechism draws two purposes out regarding or two meanings, in a sense, to the catechism. That we are first washed with Christ's blood, and secondly, that we are washed by Christ's Spirit. Now, again, don't lose sight of the fact how personal it is. You're washed by not just blood, but Christ's blood, the blood of Christ, blood that was and is Christ's blood. You're washed by his blood, and you're washed by Christ's Spirit, the Spirit of Christ. Right? It's personally, it's Christ himself, just as he had stooped down one day to wash the feet of his disciples, so too he washes you and all who come to trust in him. And he washes you with his blood and with his Spirit. And what does that mean then? What is this twofold purpose then to baptism? Well, first, right, we are washed with Christ's blood. And as the catechism says, this has to do with our sins being forgiven. Notice question 70. It says, to be washed with Christ's blood means that God, by grace, has forgiven our sins because of Christ's blood poured out for us in his sacrifice on the cross. Again, we have these promises of God. Psalm 103:12 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. Now again, I can't feel or physically touch my sins being removed from me, yet I know and I'm sure that they've been removed from me as far as the east is from the west, just as sure as I am that the water touched my forehead. As certain as the waters of baptism, so surely God has removed my sin from me as far as the east is from the west, right? So in moments of temptation or doubt, rather, and I'm saying, well, have I fallen so short of God's glory? Moments of when I feel so just sick of my sin, and I feel guilty in my conscience of my sin, it's then that I remember my baptism. And I remember what was signified to me in baptism, that I have died with Christ and I have been washed with his blood. My sins are removed from me as far as the east is from the west. We get other great pictures of the removal and forgiveness of our sins. Micah 7 verse 19 says that he, speaking of the Lord, will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. He will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. Again, I haven't seen that with my physical eyes, but I have seen the waters of baptism signifying and making that promise visible to me, making the promise that God has cast all my sins into the depths of the sea, never to surface again. I see that made visible in baptism. Or one more, Isaiah 43, verse 25. The Lord says, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. That is what God has promised. And this is what Christ has accomplished by washing us with his blood, signified to me in baptism. All right, so my sins are forgiven. It's a benefit that I receive being personally united to Jesus Christ. And secondly, right, not only am I washed by his blood so that my sins are forgiven, but I am also washed by Christ's Spirit. Christ stoops down to wash me with his Spirit. Well, what does that exactly mean? Well, being washed with his blood means that my sins are forgiven. To be washed with his Spirit, as the Catechism says, means that the Holy Spirit has renewed and sanctified us to be members of Christ, so that more and more we die to sin and live holy and blameless lives. Right? This is the focus of the Apostle Paul in Romans 6. I mean, he says these exact words. We are to consider ourselves dead to sin. It's no longer something that I'm living for. It's no longer the controlling principle in my life. I've died to it. I'm no longer serving it. It's no longer my master. But it doesn't mean I'm just set off on my own. I've died to sin, and now I'm alive to God, to serve him, to love him, to know him as my king, to know him as my Lord, to know him as my master who directs each of my steps. And so not only are my sins forgiven as Christ washes me with his blood, but I am also renewed and sanctified to be a member of Christ, to die to sin, to live to God as he has stooped down to wash me with his Spirit. This is the grace of God, the benefits that accrue to all who have believed and trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, his blood, his Spirit, and he is generous to wash us with them. This is what's signified to me in my baptism. So again, when I'm doubting the forgiveness of my sins, remember your baptism as it points you to Christ. When I'm struggling to conquer sin and temptation seems to be overwhelming, remember your baptism. You've died to sin and you're alive to God now in Christ. Right, so the washing signified and sealed in baptism is personal. It has this twofold purpose we just looked at. And then lastly, this washing was also promised. Washing was promised, and that's so important for us to remember, that we've been talking about, again, the sacraments aren't things that we ourselves decided, hey, this might be a good idea to help us in our weaknesses, but rather, these things have been instituted by God, and they are founded upon his promises. Remove the promise of God, remove the word of God, and the sacraments, including baptism, have no efficacy, no power. They're empty signs and seals. It's the promise that gives them weight. It's the promise that gives them significance. It's the promise that these are given, that the sacraments are given to signify and show to us. And so, as the Catechism reminds us, that these promises, again, are not wishful thinking, but things that Christ himself, the one who has brought us to himself, washed us with his blood, washed us with his Spirit, these are things he promised to do. And so, where do we find those promises? Well, as the Catechism says, Matthew 28, in the institution of baptism, where it says, "Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit." It's Christ himself who had called us to go and baptize, right? These are his words to us, to go and baptize. And not just to baptize, again, in an impersonal way, but in a very personal way, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. It brings us into fellowship with God when we are baptized and what baptism signifies. Christ also says that whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, because the sign and the thing that it points to are so closely connected by God that whoever receives the sign by faith receives also the thing signified, even salvation. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. And then the Apostle Paul will repeat the promises of Christ, where he says that, where he calls baptism the washing of regeneration and also the washing away of sins, right? These are things that Christ has promised to us. And therefore, just as a promise can only be received by faith, so too the sacraments, if they are to be a means of grace, we are to receive the grace of God in them, forgiveness of our sins, renewal, then so too the sacrament must be received by faith. Right? The sacrament is pointing to the promise, and the promise can only be received by faith. And therefore, the sacrament is not something that just works in and of itself, but rather the sacrament works as we receive what is promised to us by faith. It's true of our children as well. As they've been baptized, we recognize our children as members of the covenant of the Lord, members of Christ, that Christ has given his promise to them. That doesn't mean that they've been removed from any responsibility to believe or to repent, but rather within the context of the covenant, the children here, as you've been baptized, you've been signified to you and sealed to you has been the promise of Christ. And therefore, you are called to receive that promise, believe, and repent. Even in our form for the public profession of faith, which we look forward to our children one day confessing and one day taking upon themselves, the question asked to them even is, do you openly accept God's covenant promise, which has been signified and sealed to you in your baptism? Right, that's the question we ask even our children. Do you openly accept God's covenant promise, which has been signified and sealed to you in your baptism? And do you confess that you despise and humble yourself before God because of your sins, and that you seek your life not in yourself, but only in Christ Jesus, your Savior? Right, so baptism is a means of grace by which we receive the grace of God by faith. And so this is something that God has promised to us. Christ himself has promised to us. It's he who makes them effective. It's he who makes them powerful for salvation even, as they point to that reality. They point and signify that to us. They make the promise of God visible that we might be received by faith. And so as we think about baptism, right, as it signifies to us the washing of Christ's blood, the washing by Christ's Spirit, brothers and sisters, we go into another week, let's remember our baptism. It's a practice that I think we need to be doing. Remember that I am not my own, but I belong, body and soul, in life and in death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are gracious and kind, that you know our weaknesses, you know our frailty, and you have provided for us, even in giving us your Son, to save us from our sins. And we thank you also that that gospel message, that is the power of God for salvation, is made visible to us in the sacraments you've given to us, in baptism and the Lord's Supper. Father, help us, each of us here, to remember our baptism, to know that we have died with Christ to sin, that it may no longer master us, and that we are today alive in Christ to you, to serve you, to know you, to love you, even as you have created us to do. And so, Father, as we think upon our baptism and remember it, may we then again have our lives oriented toward what is true, toward what is most valuable, most important, namely Christ himself, even as he called us to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And so, Father, may Christ be that which our lives orbit around, and may it be, and may we be able to confess, even as the Apostle Paul, that it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Thank you for the benefits that accrue to us in Christ, that are accredited to us because of his sacrifice and because of his resurrection. May he be our all in all, and may all glory be given to him. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.